Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God is real. He wants to fill every single person, every believer, and He wants to do something like in the days of old. They realize that it's for today, and they realize that through Jesus, they've been called and commissioned to go and do the same thing.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he continues his study on how to put your faith and confidence in God. Draw more understanding of how much God loves His church. Now here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's give the Lord praise tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we glorify Your name. We glorify Your name. Thank You, sir. Thank You, thank You, thank You. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven, Father. And we look to the greater One that dwells within us to equip us, to equip me to deliver this message and to equip every heart and hearing ear to hear it and receive insight, ideas, and concepts concerning the kingdom of God and life in this kingdom. And we give You all the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week and the week before, and again this week, we're here in the auditorium of Eagle Mountain International Church, our home church here in Fort Worth. And we've got people here. How many are from over 50 miles away from Fort Worth is going to see you? Look at that number of people. Praise God. How many of you from Fort Worth? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Jesus is here. Amen. Now, we've been talking about becoming God inside minded, amen, and being, putting confidence and faith in the Spirit of the living God that dwells within us. Now, before we go any further, I want to show you this video clip, so if you would, and then we'll talk about it.
We went down to Honduras and partnered with the ministry down there, and we did a lot of different things throughout the week that we were down there, including going into the largest women's prison in Honduras, filled with all of the worst of the worst stories and crimes and you name it. So we got to minister there, saw women come to know Jesus, get slain in the Spirit, just really experience a touch from God and experience the love of God, which was something that for a lot of them is really tough to experience in a place like that. And then on the last day of the trip, which was kind of one of my favorite parts, we got to go up into the mountains of Honduras, some of the most remote areas, the most remote villages. You cannot get in or out without four-wheel drive, and even in some places, no motorized vehicles are going to make it. And in some of these remote villages, some of the inhabitants there, some of the people that live there, a lot of them have never seen a white man, have never seen anybody with different skin color than their own indigenous people. And a lot of them have never seen anybody that spoke English or any other language. And so it was amazing because what we did was we sent our team two by two and in some cases three, and each one had a translator that went with them. And so we were carrying bags full of food for them and beans and rice and all kinds of things. And as we would go to each home and to deliver the food, we would have a chance to pray for them. And this one specific story, which is probably my favorite one of all, somehow the translator got got away from our group. They got separated. And so as they went to this one house, our two English-speaking team members just began trying to minister to this one woman. And she didn't speak English. They didn't speak any Spanish. But as they were praying for her, they just had the unction to pray that she would be filled with the Holy Spirit, to speaking in other tongues. And as they did, they're trying to walk her through the process and trying to explain it to her. But again, she doesn't speak English. They don't speak Spanish. But then all of a sudden something happened. They decided to stop thinking through it in their own mind and in their own processes, and they just said, "Lord, have your way." And in that moment, the lady started speaking in tongues. And if that wasn't enough that she started speaking in tongues after being taught how to get there and led through that process in a language that she didn't even understand, right after she started speaking in tongues, out came English. So she went from speaking in Spanish only to being filled with the Holy Spirit, to speaking in other tongues, to then she began actually speaking in another language, English, that was not her first language, it wasn't her original language, and she began speaking perfect English back to the team. And it was absolutely incredible to see their faces, to hear them tell the story. It built their faith. It got them excited about the fact that God is real. He wants to fill every single person, every believer, and He wants to do something like in the days of old. They realize that it's for today, and they realize that through Jesus, they've been called and commissioned to go and do the same thing. Whether it was somebody that understood them in their same language or not, God would be the bridge between those two, and God would make something happen.
Now, of course, this is a very, very rare thing. Now, the scripture says, and we may get far enough along this week to where we can talk about this. It's of course as the Spirit of God leads us, where the Word talks about diversities of tongues and divers kinds of tongues. And the gift of tongues is primarily for every believer's own private devotion life. Amen. But the scripture says tongues are for a sign. And if we can, we may get that far this week. If we don't, we'll take it up another time. But that's what happened here. Now, I've not personally experienced this. I know because of my own ear for languages that I can tell the times when I move just from my own personal prayer tongue and my personal praise tongue. Then from time to time, of course, this is also part of the equipment in the prophet's ministry, but it's not isolated to the prophet. This is for the body of Christ. See, if that were to happen to you, that doesn't make you a prophet. But I got to back out of there a little bit because I don't want to jump the traces here. But she went from her own prayer language when she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something. The major miracle here was the fact that they asked the Spirit of God to lead her through the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It would be very interesting, Sergio, it'd be very interesting to ask her what she heard while they were talking to her and how she heard it. Somehow the Spirit of God led her from what they were saying to her. Amen. And then she began to speak English. So, this is very interesting business, isn't it? One man that gave me a report of ministering in Japan, And he was ministering with a team, very much like this, only they were in Japan. And this man that had been doing the preaching and through an interpreter, of course. And very much the same thing, that people came up to receive the Holy Spirit, and he was instructing them. The interpreter was just teaching right along beside. And of course, this man is not a missionary to Japan. He's from the United States. He's just on a missionary trip. A whole lot like this. So they're going along, and people have their hands up, and they're going along laying hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit, and they're laying hands on one, and this lady began to praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. And he said, now that's enough English. Go ahead. That's enough English. And the interpreter said, she doesn't speak English, man. See, he's just in the habit of doing that. I mean, you know, that's what he got. He hears English all the time. And he's telling her that's enough English. She doesn't got a clue what he's saying. Hallelujah. All sin, all sickness, all poverty, all suffering is the result of satanic hatred for the human race. Now just settle that in your thinking. That's where it came from. Satan is the author of it. Amen. God has never and will never make anybody sick. Well, now, Brother Copeland, I saw it right there in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy where it said, and God smote them. I know you did. I did too. In fact, yes, thank you, Lord. Let's turn there for just a quick moment because I want you to put your eyes on this. I won't go into all of the in-depth of the of all the explanation behind it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it came to pass, if thou shalt hearken, it will come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. So it wasn't God that's coming to each one and blessing them. It was the blessing of Abraham. Right. Amen. Huh? It was the blessing of Abraham.
Amen.
He said they would come on. All right. Now go to the 15th verse. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. God didn't have to curse anybody. You follow? This is the work of the devil. The problem was, God provided a way to be protected from that. And if you ignored him and you stepped out, the same thing is true today. We live under the law of love. Amen. And we've been redeemed from the curse. But now, how many in here know the curse is out there? Now, he doesn't have any authority over you. And as long as we're walking in the love of God, we have every right to say, no, you don't, Satan. Uh-uh, you're not putting that on me. I'm redeemed from that, and you're not putting it on me. Now, at the time the English Bible was translated, Hebrew was not an active language. And they did not realize that it had a permissive verb. And it scattered throughout the English translations of the Bible. God had to allow it. He didn't cause it. Amen. Are you listening to me? He did not cause it. What about in Egypt at Passover? Did God kill all those people?
No.
No. The destroyer did. They destroyed. The scripture says so. The destroyer did. Well, glory to God. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Now then, redemption is the result of the great love God has for all mankind. And we saw that last week from John 3:16 and John 10:10, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Glory to God. Now, in Romans 4:16, we looked at that from, let's turn over there. We looked at it concerning calling things that be not as though they were. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Always. Always. Amen. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 1. We talked about that. I think it'd be good here to refresh our memory about that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. He was moving. Amen. Where was He moving? On the face of the deep. Nothing was happening. He's always moving. Amen. He's never static. He's moving. Now, God, had He been like a lot of us have been, I don't say we are, but we sure used to be. And we really have to watch it. We really have to watch it. I don't care how long ago. Gloria and I have been living this way for 50 years. And you still, man, I mean, you have to be on your, be aware and on your spiritual guard all the time to keep the devil from just sneaking you off on sin. Stop and say, well, I guess it just wasn't my time. No. Stop that. Well, I wonder. See, that's not faith. That's wondering. Don't be doing that. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Always go back to the Word. Always go back to the Word. That's the words coming out your mouth will control your mind. Always. Amen. So, had God said, well, the Spirit of God is moving through this dark place. And I know in His own good time we're going to have light. It'd still be dark.
Yes, it would.
But how many times have you heard that? Well, Gloria and I mean, we got born again, and within just a few days, both of us received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the first thing we ever heard was the word of faith. Amen. We've never known anything but this.
Amen.
So we didn't have a lot of religion to unlearn, you know, and I knew everything I knew was fouled up. Amen. So, but when you think about it, I've had people say that to me. Well, you know, Brother Copeland, now God has His own time. Yes, He does. And it's spelled N-O-W.
Yes, amen.
There ain't no time in Him.
Yes,
He's always now.
Yes.
It's you and I. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. But now there are situations and things where we have to get ourselves in the Word of God and get our our thinking renewed, get our minds renewed, get the Word of God in our mouths. And I'm not talking about just when you need it. I'm talking about all the time. Amen. And as you do, and as you strengthen your faith, and as you feed your faith, amen, through the Word, and faith grows, faith becomes stronger. Well, Brother Copeland, I just don't have that kind of faith. What kind you got? Where did you get it? And how did you get it? Now, if you got it from God, you didn't get a little dab and I got a whole bunch. No. He's no respecter of persons. Jesus is the author and the developer of our faith. The King James translation says finisher. So it can be developed, right? But you can't develop it unless you use it. You got to use it. One of the things that must happen, you must be calling things that be not as though they were. That's what God did and does. That's what Abraham did. And Abraham, like God, in the presence of God, called things that be not as though they were. And that's what we found out in Romans chapter 4, 16, 17 verses. Amen. Now, let's go to, I want you to put your eyes on that in Romans 4. Therefore, 16th verse, it is faith so that it might be by grace. Well, I'm now, Brother Copeland, I think you're just too picky about words. Well, I am picky. Well, I don't think you have to be that picky about it. I mean, go ahead and say whatever you want to. Amen. I'm not going to cramp your style. But Jesus says you're going to have what you say.
That's right.
You're going around talking about being scared to death.
Right.
First place, you don't have any business with fear. And it didn't kill you, so you lied. Amen. See there, you're just too picky. No, I'm in training. When you're in training, you have to be picky about what you do, picky about what you think, picky about what you eat. We're in training.
That's right.
We're not like athletes. We are combat soldiers.
Yes, sir.
We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. This is not just running a simple race. This is life and death stuff. You understand?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm excited about it too. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, before him or like him in his presence, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, how does he raise the dead? How does he quicken the dead? By calling dead people alive.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
That was right. Hot off the press, brother. Amen. How did he do it? How did Jesus raise Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Somebody says, good thing he called his name. He'd have emptied that graveyard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.